My sermon today is about one verse of Scripture. Matthew 5, verse 17. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Yahshua came to fulfill what? He came to fulfill the law of Yahweh. To fulfill here does not mean, as many have interpreted, to put an end to the law and the prophets. To think of it this way is simply evidence for doctrinal programming. For doesn't the phrase to put an end to something mean to destroy something? You're going to put an end to the garbage. You take it out and throw it away. This result of the blind leading the blind is perpetuated by the oft-quoted phrase, the law is dead, meaning it is destroyed. Now, to prove my assertion, simply insert this doctrine into Matthew 5:17. It would sound like this. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to destroy. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Versus, I did not come to destroy, but to destroy. This is what is being taught out there. That Yahshua came to fulfill the law of Yahweh so that we don't have to obey. That is what's being taught. Yahshua says, abide in me, follow me. If you love me, obey my commandments. What did he mean by all that? He also said that no man has seen or heard the Father. Well, then, who was speaking to Moses? Who exactly spoke to the prophets? Who speaks to you? It is Yahshua. So which commandments was he referring to when he used the phrase, obey my commandments? Virtually everything written in Torah. The prophets and the writings and the of the Tanakh. He is the angel, the messenger of Yahweh, who spoke to Moses in the burning bush and elsewhere. He is the messenger who calls us out. He's the one who speaks to you and me according to the will of his Father, the Almighty Yahweh. To understand what Yahshua is truly saying in verse 17, we need to know what the opposite of destroy is. Because it's obvious, absolutely clear that he is referring to its antithesis. It's not this, but that. Does this make sense? Listen to the heart of Yahshua. I did not come to judge. I came to forgive. You hear the antithesis there? Opposite of judgment is forgiveness. I did not come to be served, I came to serve. I did not come to change my Father's will, I came to restore my Father's will. The thesaurus defines the antonym of destroy as build. To destroy means to tear down. The opposite means to build up. To build also means to put together, to assemble, and to encourage. Aren't we assembled here? Are we encouraged by the word of Yahweh? What is Yahshua's purpose in his first appearance here? Simply put, it's to put together the two houses of Israel, the stick of Judah and the stick of Ephraim. In the same manner that the laws of this land, the civil and criminal statutes, are designed to protect and prosper the innocent, so too are the laws, commandments, statutes, and ordinances of Yahweh designed to protect and prosper the innocent, not the guilty, those who disobey the commandments, or the guilty ones. Those who understand the strengths, the choices, and the freedoms afforded to those who obey these laws are, or could be said to be, not under the law. In this world, who is under the law? Well, that's why we have prisons. And this is what Paul was trying to teach in Galatians 5:18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So I ask you, if you are led by the Spirit, will you transgress the law of Yahweh? And to this I say, Yahweh forbid. In our continuing study of the book of Matthew, also known as the book of the Messianic Age, we should all be familiar with Matthew 5:17 for a number of reasons. Primarily, we should understand that out of Yahshua's mouth comes the indisputable and undisputable, irrefutable and conclusive proclamation that the law, that is, the instructions of Yahweh, is forever. We shall see that this proclamation was foretold by Yahweh through Moses in the Torah. Another important reason for us to clearly understand what Yahshua is telling us here, for example, is the title given to these four verses in my Bible. Here it is, as written in my Bible. Christ fulfills the law. An ambivalent phrase that can easily be used to teach that the law has been fulfilled. The editors of this version of Scripture that I read from use the present tense to describe Yahshua's statement 2,000 years ago, the effect of which implies that the law was fulfilled and remains fulfilled. The truth is that the Messiah showed us 2,000 years ago how we are to fulfill the law of Yahweh up to this present day. Now, also notice that the subject of this section title is not Messiah, but Christ. The Greek and Latin alternative title to the Messiah used to avoid referencing anything Hebrew or Jewish. We cannot ignore that the universal church's Christ bears a stronger resemblance to the pantheon of Greek and Latin sun deities than to the description of the Hebrew Messiah written in the Scriptures. Who but a pagan deity would be assigned the same birth date as Mithra, Zeus, Tammuz, and others, determined to have been raised from the grave on a day dedicated to the goddess of fertility, Ishtar, or Easter, at sunrise, and worshipped on the venerable day of the sun, spelled S-U-N. I ask you, have those who seek to know Yahweh and his son Yahshua set aside these false doctrines of this universal religion? In truth, yes, some have. But most others remain entrenched in the subtle, and sometimes not so subtle, hatred of anything Hebrew, in large part due to historical attempts by writers to perpetuate hatred for anything, quote, Jewish. It may surprise you to know that Martin Luther, the, quote, great reformer, was one of those writers who published a pamphlet entitled On the Jews and Their Lies. I want to quote a few G-rated excerpts from his writings. Not to belabor his obvious anti-Semitic values, but to emphasize how his notoriety has influenced Protestantism, not only against anything resembling Jewishness or Hebraic, but that how his prejudice has taken people away from Scripture itself. He seems to completely lack the understanding that Yahweh will save all Israel, that he will raise up a Savior for Israel, that through the Messiah, you, that is we, have been brought near to the commonwealth of Israel. and that Yahweh will restore the house of Judah and the house of Ephraim to himself. So as it turns out, Luther is not a great reformer, but rather a great destroyer. Listen to his words, unedited. Therefore, a Christian should be content and not argue with the Jews. But if you have to or want to talk with them, do not say any more than this. Listen, Jew, are you aware that Jerusalem and your sovereignty, meaning their relationship with Yahweh, together with your temple and priesthood, have been destroyed for over 1,460 years? For this year, which we Christians write as the year 1542, since the birth of Christ, is exactly 1,468 years, going on 1,500 years since Vespasian and Titus destroyed Jerusalem and expelled the Jews from the city. Let the Jews bite on this nut and dispute this question as long as they wish. He goes on. For such ruthless wrath of God is sufficient evidence that they assuredly have erred and gone astray. Even a child can comprehend this. For one dare not regard God as so cruel that he would punish his own people so long, so terribly, so unmercifully, and in addition, keep silent, comforting them neither with words nor with deeds, and fixing no time limit and no end to it. Who would have faith, hope, or love towards such a God? Therefore, this work of wrath is proof that the Jews, surely rejected by God, are no longer his people. And neither is he any longer their God. This is in accord, Martin Luther says, with Hosea 1:9. And he's quoting here, he says, call his name not my people, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. Yes, unfortunately, this is their lot, truly a terrible one. They may interpret this as they will. We see the facts. We see the facts before our eyes, and these do not deceive us. I'm just kind of stymied by the fortitude that he has in disseminating this information that the Jews are gone. They're over. They're completely done with. And I have to step in here because Luther is clearly performing proof texting. Just guess what the very next series of verses says. Just listen to this. Hosea 1, and the next verse is 10. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people. There it shall be said to them, you are sons of the living Elohim. Then the children of Judah and the children of Israel shall be gathered together and appoint for themselves one head, Yahshua, and they shall come up out of the land. For great will be the day of Jezreel. I think Luther is missing it. I wonder if he's even read the Bible. How can a reputed scholar make such outlandish and wrong accusations? One wonders if he has even read the scripture. Certainly, I surmise, the Spirit of Yahweh did not abide in this man. Let's continue reading this this pamphlet that Martin Luther sent out. He writes, accordingly, it must not be considered a trifling matter, but a most serious one to seek counsel to save our souls from the Jews. That is, from the devil and from eternal death. My advice, as I said earlier, is, first, that their synagogues be burned down, and that all who are able toss sulfur and pitch It would be good if someone could also throw in some hellfire. Now, I'm not sure exactly what he meant by that. Second, that all their books, their prayer books, their Talmudic writings, and also their entire Bible, be taken from them, not leaving them one leaf, and that these be preserved for those who may be converted. Third, that they be forbidden on the pain of death to praise God, to give thanks, to pray, and to teach publicly among us and in our country. Fourth, that they be forbidden to utter the name of God, although he also didn't understand that either, within our hearing. For we cannot, with a good conscience, listen to this or tolerate it. Luther ends his pamphlet with these incomprehensible, if not confusing, words. The merciless punishment of the wicked, that is, the Jews, is not being carried out just to punish the wicked and make them atone for the evil desires that are in their blood, but to protect the righteous and to maintain peace and safety. Where have you heard those words before? And beyond all doubt, these are precious works of mercy, love, and kindness. How can he say that? So I ask you, how twisted and perverse can an individual be to use his power to influence others to violate the word of Yahweh by judging one's fellow being and by condemning people to death because of their religious beliefs? Additionally, Martin Luther condemned the Jews for their ability to make money by usury. Truth be known, it is written in the Torah and in the New Testament that Israel is allowed to charge interest to those outside the faith. Hear this clearly. No one forces an individual to take out a loan knowing that there is a fee for such service. Ultimately, the Jews or anyone of Israel is Torah observant by lending money at interest to those outside the faith. While those who borrow money at interest can easily be viewed as, well, actually lawless if you think about it. Deuteronomy 23, verse 20 says, unto a stranger you may lend upon usury, but unto your brother you shall not lend upon usury, that Yahweh thy Elohim may bless you in all that you set your hand to in the land where you go to possess it. And in Matthew 25, beginning at verse 27, this is Yahshua speaking to the man who was given talents. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with usury. So even the Messiah is telling people to make money by using usury. Going back to the seriousness of Martin Luther's proclamation here, he goes so far as to proclaim, we are at fault in not slaying them for avenging the death of Jesus Christ. We are at fault in not slaying them for avenging the death of Jesus Christ. Now, a man by the name of Daniel Yochai Goldhagen wrote a book entitled Hitler's Willing Executioners. And in the foreword to the volume, he applauded the burning of the synagogues and the coincidence of the day. On November 10, 1938, on Luther's birthday, the synagogues are burning in Germany, he writes. The German people, he urged, ought to heed these words of the greatest anti-Semite of his time, the warner of his people against the Jews. Now, this is the last thing I'll say in reference to Martin Luther. In Mein Kampf, Hitler listed Martin Luther as one of the greatest reformers. And similar to Luther in the 1500s, Hitler spoke against the Jews. The Nazi plan to create a German Reich church laid its bases on the spirit of Dr. Martin Luther. The first physical violence against the Jews came on November 9 and 10 on Kristallnacht, which means crystal night, where the Nazis killed Jews, shattered glass windows, and destroyed hundreds of synagogues, just as Luther had proposed. This was the beginning of the Holocaust. Now back to Matthew. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to restore. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. Yahweh Elohecha, and Elohecha means your El, your Elohim, your mighty one. Yahweh Elohecha will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear, and the word there is Shema, and obey, according to all you desired of Yahweh Elohecha in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of Yahweh Elohecha, nor let me see this great fire any more, lest I die. And Yahweh said to me, of course this is Moses speaking, what they have spoken is good. I will, what they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you, from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear and obey my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. In the book of John, chapter 1, verse 45, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Yahshua of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. And Yahshua saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit. Now, if you were to inspect a map of Israel back then, you would notice that at the very top of this map, you would see Nazareth, and it's above Samaria. And then below Samaria is Jerusalem, and below Jerusalem is at the lower end of the land of Judea is Jerusalem. It's a long way, and the people of Jerusalem had very hard feelings against anyone from Samaria, much less Galilee, which is north. Actually, Nazareth is north of Galilee. So that's why Nathanael said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Yahweh prophesied that he will raise up a prophet like Moses. Like Moses, the man who spoke face to face to Elohim. Exodus 33, verse 11. So Yahweh spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Then Moses said to Yahweh, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you also have found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people. And he said, and Yahweh said to Moses, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Moses wanted to see the way of Yahweh because he wanted to know Yahweh. In John 8, verse 54, we read, Yahshua answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your Elohim. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Yahshua said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And the message here is that Yahshua is the one to whom Moses spoke, who he spoke to face to face. Yahshua is the one, the glory of Yahweh in the temple, in the holiest of holies. Yahshua is the one who spoke to all the prophets. And those who honored him and wanted to know him and Yahweh obeyed. John 14, beginning at verse 5. Thomas said to him, Master, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Yahshua said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Master, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Yahshua said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Here is Yahshua speaking to his disciples, saying, I am the one who has taken you out of Egypt. I'm the one who has given you the law. I've given you the instructions. Because I've only spoken that which my Father has given me to speak. He is that presence. As Yahweh told Moses, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was the Messiah. Can you see how Yahshua has fulfilled the will of Yahweh? He continues to fulfill the way of Yahweh by the Spirit of Yahweh, and with his Spirit we shall assist in restoring the law of Yahweh, that is, the teachings of Yahweh. Hallelujah.